Your hand up if you were last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, this place was absolutely stowed out with people right to the very back. There must have been 130 plus people in the church last Sunday as we celebrated the baptism of Janet O'Neill, who's a member of the Duncansboro Macintosh Church, and also Nathaniel, getting your Sunday name today, Nathaniel. Nathaniel Rogers, who subsequently became a member of our church here. So as a church, we're committed to believers' baptism because we believe that it was ordained by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, as described in Matthew 28:18-20. Several people said to me, you know, after last Sunday morning service, concerning their awareness of the presence of God in this place and the joy it was to be worshipping with brothers and sisters from other churches in the town. And this morning we've gathered with Adam and Abby to dedicate Verity Hope to the Lord. Verity, like the rest of us, is absolutely unique. You are unique. No one has ever lived that is exactly the same as you are. It doesn't matter even if you've got a twin. You're unique. Absolutely unique. Because God created you that way. So we've acknowledged that God is the creator and the giver of life, and we've covenanted together to seek to bring Verity up in the Christian faith. We pray that in due course, Verity will come to a personal faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that she, like her parents and grandparents, will become committed disciples of Jesus. So in this morning's Bible passage, and also in the drama that you've just seen, we encounter a man called Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a man who was searching for truth. Perhaps that describes you this morning. Perhaps you're here and you're searching for truth. Pharisees often get a bad press, but a person like Nicodemus was simply the product of his culture and his religion. Miraculous signs for Nicodemus indicated that he believed that Jesus had come from God. We heard that in verse 2 of our Bible passage. And he visits Jesus at night because he didn't want others to know that he was visiting this itinerant rabbi who was causing such a stir in Jerusalem. He was far too important, Nicodemus. He was part of the Jewish ruling council. It would not be good for other members of that council to know that he'd gone to speak with this rabbi, because they were all upset about the things that Jesus was saying and doing. Do you know that Pharisees were extremely religious people, committed to obeying all the law of God? And at the time of Jesus, the Ten Commandments and precepts of the Torah, guess how many laws they had to keep? How many laws do you think they had to keep to complete the whole law of God at the time Jesus was here? How many do you think? Have a guess. Go on, Ewan. 500 and something. Close. Up a bit. 600. Up a bit. No, not 700. Just a little bit. 620, but you're close. 620, okay? So they had to keep 620 laws perfectly to be obedient to the laws of God. And a person like Nicodemus would be admired by others because of his apparent piety, because he tried to keep the law of God. And yet he was no doubt conscious that it was impossible to fully keep the law of God. So initially, Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus has come from God, but what he fails to see is that Jesus is God. When the Apostle John wrote this letter, this gospel, he tells us why he wrote it in chapter 20, verse 31. He writes this: "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John tells us why he writes his gospel. Jesus engages Nicodemus in this conversation, which is rather an unusual conversation, as you saw from the drama. Jesus asks Nicodemus basically to let go of all the things he thinks he knows in order to be reborn through what Jesus has to offer. Now, perhaps you're like Nicodemus this morning. You describe yourself as a religious person seeking to keep the law in order to gain God's approval. Or perhaps you're involved in doing good works in an attempt to justify yourself before a holy God. The truth is that good works will never get anyone into heaven. Jesus is the source of truth. And he declared to Nicodemus, declared to, as we read when we were dedicating Verity, he said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And we all, like Verity, have been born into this world in a physical sense. We all came into the world the same way. But in order to be a Christian, we need to experience a spiritual birth. Being born again simply means being born from above, experiencing a spiritual rebirth through a personal conversion. By saying we're sorry for the things that we've done that we know displease God, and by accepting God's forgiveness, which was bought for us by the Lord Jesus as he died on the cross. Sin, you know, must be desperately serious, because sin separates us from God. And we're saved by the grace of God through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, bore our sin in his body on the tree. It's hard for us to imagine what that means. The extent of God's love set against our sinfulness. If the only way that we could be saved was through the willing sacrifice and suffering of Jesus, then sin must be very serious indeed. And it's by looking to the cross of Jesus that we find forgiveness for our sins, resulting in a new birth spoken about here. Natty, last Sunday, 82 years old, and yet in Christian terms, a very young believer, just a few months old. Nicodemus left Jesus that night with a lot to think about. Is our drama correct in assuming that Nicodemus came to a personal faith in Jesus? Well, I believe that there are some indicators that would say yes, it is. See, the next time we encounter Jesus in John's Gospel, in John chapter 7, verses 50 and 52, Nicodemus is standing up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin. And where do we encounter Nicodemus again? Can anybody tell me where we next encounter Nicodemus?
Jesus' burial.
That's right. Next time we encounter Nicodemus, Nicodemus is there with Joseph of Arimathea, who goes to Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus and takes that body down from the cross and puts that body in a tomb, anointing the dead body of Jesus with expensive spices. It must have cost Nicodemus, both in relation to his character, in relation to his finances, to be part of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I believe that Nicodemus came to a personal faith in Jesus. What did the drama teach us that was most important? Any of you guys? What was most important about what Jesus said? Come on, somebody must be awake. Are you not awake, Robbie? Are you still asleep? Good man. Okay, somebody must know. What did Jesus say? What did he say that was an unusual thing to say? Yes. No? You're stretching. Come on, somebody must know. What about the drama? What was the key theme in the drama? Yes.
He must be born
You must be born again. Seems like a very unusual thing to say, doesn't it? Because you've already been born. You're here. I can see you. Yeah? But to be born again, we need to be born from above. We need to realize who Jesus is and give our hearts and our lives to him. It's a spiritual thing. I can't convert anybody. But God speaks through his word and through his spirit into our lives so that we realize that this is true. We need to be born again from above so that we become true believers in Jesus and disciples of Jesus. Okay, we're going to stop for a wee minute and come back to a wee bit more once we've sung another song. As a consequence to our being born again, that is that we're born into privilege. And the wee passage that I read from 1 Peter at the beginning of the service, I'd just like to share a couple of thoughts in relation to that passage. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed at the last time. Verity is blessed in that she's been born into a Christian home. Adam and Abby, together with grandparents and ourselves, have committed to bringing Verity up in the Christian faith. And this, I believe, increases the possibility that one day Verity will claim that faith for herself. In fact, I have friends who were born into Christian homes and who were brought up into the faith and can never remember a time when they weren't Christian. Others of us can remember a specific time or a day when God broke into our lives and changed our lives forever because we were born again from above. I realized that God loved me personally so much that he didn't want to leave me as I was. Rather, he gave me a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for all who believe. So just as we're born physically, so we must also be born spiritually. And just as we've got nothing to do with our physical birth, so we cannot do anything about our spiritual birth. I went along to a meeting in Moffat. I wasn't expecting anything to happen, and yet God broke into my life personally. I understood for the first time that God loved me. And at the end of that service, I simply repented. Not that I really understood that word, but I realized that here was a holy God who loved me. And I simply said, "Sorry, Lord, and if you'll have me, here I am." It was a very simple prayer. Uncomplicated. If you'll have me, here I am. And that changed my life completely. I was born again, born from above. And with this new birth came a glorious inheritance. The word inheritance is an interesting word. What does inheritance mean? Any of you guys tell me what inheritance means? If you've got an inheritance, what does it mean, Ewan? Yeah. Yes. So why would you be given this? Why would you get this inheritance? What's the qualification? You are going to be given something, but it's usually because you're a member of a specific family and somebody has left you this something special when they die. Okay, so when my dad died, he left me and my other, I've got six brothers and sisters, left us an inheritance. Okay, but if we're born again of the Spirit of God, we also have an inheritance. It's a legacy. It's not something that we earn, nor is it something that we can purchase. It's simply something we receive as a gift because of the family into which we are now born. So once we take that step of faith in Jesus, we become children of the living God, members of God's family. And the inheritance Peter wrote about is our complete and full salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. And the last day will be triggered, of course, by the Lord's return when Jesus comes again. This consummate salvation, this inheritance, means that we will be totally set free from the power and presence of sin. While we're still here in the flesh, we still struggle with temptation. But one day we'll be set free from decay, set free from any stain of impurity whatsoever, set free from pain and grief and death, set free from punishment and judgment and the wrath of God. We'll inherit full salvation. So here we struggle still with these challenges and temptations, but we're shielded by the power of God until that salvation is revealed. And I just praise God that as we gather here this morning, so many of us are born again. We can rejoice because we have a shared reality. We're born into privilege, sons and daughters of the King, who is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Some quite profound thoughts this morning, and it being a family service, maybe not teased out in the depth that some might like. And if you have any questions at all about some of the things you've heard, then please do come and speak to me or speak to one of the elders about these matters. Because Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he or she is born again. Amen.